The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Well, good morning. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. The book of Philippians, chapter 1. Wouldn't it be convenient if life was scripted for us? To be able to know in advance the sort of things that were going to occur. Throughout my teenage years, I just happened to be sometimes in the right place at the right time to where events that don't normally happen to somebody happen to me. Now, that's both the negative and the positive. But there was a time when I was working at a ranch outside of San Antonio. It was called Joshua Creek Ranch. It's about 1,500 acres, and it's a very high-class ranching experience as far as a hunting and a shooting resort. I was a high school student. It was a great summertime job to where you can go, and those that like to do skeet shooting, clay pigeons, we had a world-class course that was there, and so people would come and from all different places around the nation. And they would compete there at this world-class course that we would set up. But it was also a place where folks could come and they could hunt deer, quail, Hungarian partridge. Hungarian partridge, chuck. And there's a number of animals that people could hunt. And it was beautiful, 1,500 acres in the hill country of Texas. And it's still there. I remember one time coming to work and there were many more vehicles there than normal, and they weren't the average vehicles that we would see of the hunters and those that were sportsmen. They were more elite when it comes to the type of vehicles. They were very expensive vehicles. It looked like a glorified news crew was there. Well, come to find out that a major Hollywood production company had sought out this ranch to begin filming some of the scenes for the major movies that were being made, the major movie that was being made at the time. Now, I didn't know much about the movie. It hadn't been out yet. They were filming it. But I recognized some of the folks around the ranch there as the Hollywood movie stars. Now, I don't usually hang around, those sort of people. I don't hobnob with them to be able to mention them on a first name basis. And so as a high school student and you're seeing these A-listers coming out and going from one place to the next, it was somewhat interesting, almost surreal. And I gained permission from the owner of the ranch, as well as a couple of my friends, to go watch some of the scenes being filmed. Now, there was a lot that we had to sign in doing that, and there was a lot of precautions we needed to take. So as high schoolers, we weren't creating antics when someone said action, and then we'd jump up and holler and hoot. And so there were some things that we needed to do and needed to understand. But one of the scenes, if I were to even watch the movie, I couldn't tell you what scene it was. But I remember the scenario. It was an outdoor, it was a natural setting. And the main male role and the main female role were in a heated discussion next to one of the creeks that we had there on the property. And so they were filming a scene. Now, the scene lasted, if I could remember correctly, the scene lasted about 15 minutes at the most, as far as the actual talking part. But they were out there all morning and afternoon filming this 15-minute segment of what the actual talking was 15 minutes. Later on, we found out that the scene in the movie was only about 45 seconds long. And as I watched, it was more instructive to me, rather than seeing these two, the lead roles, talking to each other, it was all that was going on outside of that scene that would be filmed. The different people that were involved, those that were making sure that there was the proper responses that were given by just not the two that were there, but maybe some of the other folks on the periphery. There were those that were concerned with the consistency of the scene, making sure that if a part of his clothing was in disarray, that it stayed in disarray as the scene continued on, even though it could have been 2 or 3 hours later. There was the makeup person that would come after every cut and needing to have every scene. There was a makeup person that would come for both him and for her to make sure that the makeup was just right and the hair was just right. For him, it wasn't an issue. For her, she had much more hair. It was dated back in the Civil War time. As I remember watching this, I was just awestruck at the amount of effort that went into making sure that the director got exactly what he wanted with that scene. One of the other interesting folks, I don't know that there's a college degree for it, though it did take a tremendous amount of precision, it was somebody that was timing the cloud cover. He had a gizmo or a gadget, whatever word you want to use, and he would take it up and look into the sky with it, and he would be able to tell the director how much sunlight they would have before the shade would begin to encroach upon the set. Now, you might look up at the sky and think, well, I can kind of guess the way the clouds are going by. But if you'll remember, it wasn't just the clouds going by. If there needed to be a certain shadow cast at the certain right time, that needed to be done. If it had to be a clear blue sky, then that needed to be there. And so it may be they wanted cloud cover. And I remember many times during that scenario that the person that was in charge of the cloud cover timing was the one that was running the set. And everything was based upon, okay, we've got 30 seconds until action. 30 seconds till action. All right, 10 seconds till action. And everyone's looking at this man who has this thing up in the sky trying to measure when the cloud's going to come across. It was fascinating to watch. During that time that was there, that production company also built a mansion that they would burn down. That was kind of neat. I liked the burning down part. That was pretty neat to see. But it was torched. And so horses would come running and people would come in. It was just the facade of a mansion, but it took a tremendous amount of time and they had to get it right on the first take, obviously. And so they had additional cameras all around. It was just neat to see what we often look at, whether it's a movie or a program on television, how much is scripted to make sure the director gets exactly what he wants. I'm sure President Shoemaker would have not balked if the Lord would have told President Shoemaker 3 years ago, this is what I have planned for the world. There's going to be a virus that's going to come and it's going to disrupt things. And so here's how I would like things worked out. And to be able to give President Shoemaker a day-by-day script of exactly what needs to be done, exactly how it needs to be done, so that at the end of the day, Dr. Shoemaker could look at his heavenly director, and the heavenly director would say, now, that's all usable material. That's all exactly as I was wanting it. If you think about the burdens of our president here, magnified by the different lives that are affected by the decisions that are made, peer down into your own lives and think about the decisions that you're making today and tomorrow. Some of you are going through pre-registration and you're beginning to plan for classes for next semester. Some of you are changing your majors. Some of you are wondering, should I change my major? And it sure would be nice if the Lord would give you a script that says, this is exactly what I want you to do. And you can open up your mailbox on campus and in there's a letter from the Lord that says, I want you to be in this major. I want you to take these classes. I want you to take these teachers. Or maybe there's a script in there that says, you're not coming back next semester because something's going to occur this summer. And so be ready for it. And this is how I'd like for you to respond. But God is not a heavenly director orchestrating and forcing us to do everything right the first time so that when we come before our God and see Him face to face, He's not that way to where everything in life has gone exactly as He wanted in our lives. That we responded with just the right facial expression. That we were careful not to put one hair out of place as we went through this storm of life. That we interacted with everybody just perfectly. God doesn't treat us like that, does He? No, when God looks at His people, when He looks at His family, His children, He's given them His word to read. He's given them good godly counsel and the multitude of counselors their safety. And He's even provided circumstances like Abraham's servant, I being in the way the Lord led me. To discern the will of God is not to look at a script and say, Lord, what am I to say in this situation? Lord, how am I exactly to respond here? What should be the decision I make? It's not between two bad things or a bad and a good thing. It's between something that's good and something else that's good. And I don't know which way to go with it. Lord, where's my script? And then we get into something that does happen contrary to what we think. It begins to ruffle the feathers a little bit. That cloud cover comes just a little bit too early. Or that person that we thought was our friend has now turned out as a cast member to be our enemy. And we didn't know that was in the script. That betrayal wasn't anywhere there. As far as we know, they were a friend for life. Well, when that happened to Mom and Dad, we sure didn't think it would happen in our family. The way the script was in Scripture is that they would be together for a lifetime. And now I'm facing college life plus the things going on back home. Lord, this wasn't in the script. My life was to be easier than this. As I looked at that scene for that movie and that director, as he would call action, that female role, lead role, and that male lead role would begin to dialogue just as it was written. And as they dialogued, they said, cut. The director gave a thumbs up and they moved on to the next scene. We don't get that, do we? We don't get that pleasure. We don't get that opportunity to restate something that has been said wrong to a friend. We don't get that opportunity to, let's go back a couple seconds and let's rehearse this one more time. I said words to you I didn't mean to say, and so let's kind of backtrack and we'll cut that. Just cut it out as if it never happened, and we'll replay the right response. In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is being used by the Lord to write to the church at Philippi, and the church at Philippi is going through a lot. There's sickness within the church, Epaphroditus. The sickness was so great that the church family was concerned about Epaphroditus, one that they had sent to Paul to minister to Paul, and now they've heard that he's well nigh unto death. There's a couple of folks in the church that have some disagreement that the Lord even mentions their name. These two ladies by name saying they need to be of the same mind, so there's a little division going on in the church. We're told in the book of Corinthians that there's a time of deep poverty and a great trial of affliction that this church at Philippi is going through. There's a lot of difficulties. This wasn't scripted when they got saved. Now, the Apostle Paul had told them that they would face tribulation in this life, but they weren't told when. They weren't told how often. They weren't even told how severe the tribulation would be. So as Paul writes to this church, if you'll notice in chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, as his prayers for them are described, he says, I always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. You think, well, how do you make requests with joy when we're going through so much? Paul, how can you be joyful over our state as a church when we're going through so much? Paul, there's a lot of things that we weren't told about that would happen, and it's difficult. And while we're maintaining faithfulness to the Lord, understand, Paul, we're undergoing a lot. And Paul says, I make requests for you with joy. And then he says these words, verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There are two very important days here in these verses. If you notice in verse 5, it speaks about the gospel from the first day. From that very moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, God began a work in you. And then there's a final day. Notice in verse 6, the final day is this. The final day of Jesus Christ. From the day of our salvation till the day we see Him face to face, the Lord is working in us. That's a tremendous thought, isn't it? Rather than directing us from the outside, He's doing the work through us on the inside. Rather than having a script about every decision that needs to be made of every day, rather than having that, He's giving us the opportunity to work through us and in us. that we might have joy. Joy in the midst of all of these things. See, well, how can you have that perspective, though? I mean, how can you pray with joy for somebody going through something so difficult? How can you have something that's not scripted and you're supposed to respond correctly to it? Well, the Apostle Paul, mindful of the Church of Philippi and their circumstances, draws the attention to himself and what he's going through. But more than drawing the attention to himself, he draws the attention to his God. If you'll begin looking with me now as we go to chapter 1, look in verse 12. I know what you're going through, Church of Philippi. I understand it. And one of your members is right here with me as I'm penning this. Now, he's recovering from a grave sickness nigh unto death. But I understand your heart for him. I understand your heart for me. But I know there are also things that you're facing there at home. And so understanding all of that, let me show you what the Lord is doing in my life as he is performing a good work in me. I would you should understand, brethren, verse 12, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, when I signed up to be with the Lord, when I trusted him as my Savior, and as I gave my life to serve him, I understood that there would be things that would befall me. Did I understand the extent of them? No. But I understood that there would be hardships in life. And here I am now imprisoned in Rome as I'm writing this to you. Now, I've been in prison before, and it may be even thinking of the Philippian jailer and his family that are members of the church at Philippi here, reminding them of what his time was like in that Philippian prison as they were beaten and then cast into the inner part of the prison. And at night, as Paul and Silas began to sing praises to the Lord, that Philippian jailer came to the very end of his life that night as he looked down that hallway and saw all the doors were open and thought the very worst. That wasn't scripted in his life either. When he left home that morning to go to that jail that night to be able to have the night guard, he had no idea that he would be facing what he faced. And the script for him, as he thought, was he'd leave his wife and family that night, go to work, come back home in the morning, get some sleep during the day, and then go back to work that next night. He wasn't prepared for what the Lord was going to do that night. Opening all those prison doors and then hearing one of the prisoners cry, "Don't do any harm to yourself. We're all here." And for him to come down on his knees and say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That wasn't scripted for Paul any more than it was for the Philippian jailer. And now Paul's in prison again. This imprisonment will last a little bit. It'll end in his martyrdom. But this church at Philippi is now receiving Paul's letter. This is what the Lord is doing through me. In verse 12, "I would ye should understand, brethren, there are things that happen to me. And the things which happen to me," it sounds so sporadic, doesn't it? When you think about something that happens to you, that happenstance, it sounds almost chaotic, unplanned, as if what could happen to you could have very well happened to somebody else. You're going down the road and an accident happened to you rather than happening to somebody else. You were in the store and you're the one that dropped the carton of milk and not somebody else. The things that happened to me, they sound so careless. It sounds like things are just absolutely up to coincidence. And Paul says, the things that come into life that happen to me, he says, they're not just things that appear insignificant and random. They've happened to me and then very personal. This imprisonment didn't happen to you, Church of Philippi. It happened to me. Epaphroditus came of his own will to see me. I'm not here of my own will. If they let me go today, I would go. These things that have happened, they appear so insignificant and so random. They appear like they could have happened to absolutely anybody, but they happened to me. I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. But as we go through verse 12, we find that the things that happened unto him, we find are purposeful things. Notice what the verse continues on with. The things which happened unto me have fallen out. Fallen out, they're purposeful. Well, they came in one way looking so chaotic, but when the Lord used them, they fell out with purpose. When these things came into my life, these things that happened to me, I looked at them initially and I said, Lord, why this? Certainly, I didn't need to learn this lesson right now. Certainly, I didn't need to know this at this time. Why would this happen? Lord, it's so unfair that this would occur to me. These things that have happened to me, the Lord says they've fallen out. There's actually been a purpose behind them. They came in chaotic, they went out purposeful. They came in random, but they left the Lord having used it. And look at what verse 12 goes on to say. They have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I thought the Lord just had it out for me. I thought it was just something that the Lord was taking his anger out on me, and or he forgot about me and left me to the wiles of the world, and it happened to me. I got the wrong boss, and the boss mistreating me. The roommates aren't doing me well. My teachers aren't doing me right. It seems the whole world is against me. Lord, these things are happening unto me. But there's a purpose for every one of them. As our God, he doesn't direct how we respond. But he does permit things to occur to us. He does allow things to happen in our lives, not just as things that happen, but rather as a means for the falling out of the gospel, for the furtherance of our walk with him. And as the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Philippi, there's a lot of things happening to these godly people. And as they look at their lives and they see what's going on around them, they think, is it really worth following Christ? If this is Christian fellowship, if this is a Christian living, is it really worth it? And as Paul looks at them and reminds them of what he's going through, he says, don't look at the things as just things in and of themselves, but understand there's purpose to them. That purpose is found in verse 12. They've happened unto me, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather. That's a word showing contrast. The things that have happened to me, I took as just things, but come to find out. The things which have happened to me seem so chaotic, but the things which have happened to me have seemed so unfair until then I realized the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the purpose that the Lord has for me. That goes back to verse number 5. The fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that she would have begun a good work in you, will perform it. God has not left us. God has not forsaken us. God has not cast us off, even if we don't get things right the first time. We find a God in the scriptures that is very long-suffering. We find one who desires to use us. And as long as there's a beat in our heart and a breath in our lungs, the Lord desires to use you and I for his glory. They're not just happenings. They're not just coincidences. They're purposeful. We come down to verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest. What a great perspective to have. I'm in a place where I can give the gospel where very few people can. And I'm giving the gospel under the protection of Rome. I'm in the safest place I can be to give the gospel. People are free to come and see me. At this time, he was allowed to have people come visit him, Epaphroditus. He was able to have people come and minister to him and bring him clothes and bring him books. And he was able to send letters out to folks as well. Under the protection of the Roman government, Paul's imprisonments allowed him to spread the gospel in the palace, but then also to be used by the Lord to pen the letters to the churches. We often think, well, that was Paul then. What about me now? Can the Lord really use somebody like that in my life? Can the Lord really use me like that in somebody else's life? And as I look at my script, Lord, and I see what you have for me, you don't give me the script a day at a time. I usually have to read the script about what happened at the end of the day. And I've got to look back and I've got to say, well, Lord, how are you using this? Lord, what are you doing here? This thing that happened to me today. I was so ready for this quiz and I realized I didn't do that well on it at all. I really thought this was the person I was going to be with for the rest of my life, but boy, that's really changed. I really thought this is what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life, but now I'm beginning to question it. And so, Lord, give me the script in advance. A script in advance doesn't do anything but make us robots. A script in advance of exactly the way we're to respond in every single scenario, in every single situation. A script in response that says, this is the word you're to say. This is the facial expression you're to have. Makes us nothing more than glorified artificial intelligence. The Lord says, no, from the day of your salvation to the day that you see the Lord face to face, I'm working in you. I'm working in you. So joy is not just the smile that you put on your face. Joy is that spiritual gift that gives you and I the assurance that until the day we see Christ, He's working and performing His good work in us. You and I don't need a script to tell us exactly what to say. We have the Spirit of God and the Word of God that gives us the directions for life. We need a close walk with our Lord. And understanding this, that while it is you and I might not do things right the first time, or the second time, or the third time, we serve a gracious God, don't we? And He loves you, He cares about us, and He desires you and I to know that He will perform right in our lives. Our responsibility is to take the opportunities to let Him.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.